here's a little gem that's rich in beauty and simplicity. And it's a part of William Jennings Bryan's great lecture on The Prince of Peace. I'm going to give it to you. I just love it, and I read it ever so often because it's just so practical. I was eating a piece of watermelon some months ago and was struck with its beauty. I took some of the seeds and dried them, weighed them, and found that it would require some 5,000 seeds to weigh a pound. One of these put into the ground, when warmed by the sun, moistened by the rain, takes off its coat and goes to work. It ornaments the outside with a covering of green. Inside the green puts a layer of white. Within the white, a core of red, and all through the red, it scattered seeds, each one capable of continuing the work of reproduction. What architect drew the plans? Where does a little seed get its tremendous power? Where does it find its coloring matter? How does it collect its flavoring extract? Until you can explain a watermelon, do not be too sure that you can set limits to the power of the Almighty, or say just what He can do, or how He will do it. All right, here's another one. You know, we think we're so smart. And after all, we're so stupid. And it's the person who is really smart is the first to acknowledge how little he really knows. Science can't explain this one. Mary and I brought home a miracle yesterday. His name is Mark Matthew, and he'll not be a week old until 11 o'clock tonight. Just before his mother decked him out in a yellow knitted suit for his trip home from the hospital, he weighed 7 pounds, 11 ounces. A normal 5-ounce drop from his 8 pounds. I think he's a handsome boy. Alert. But it's not fatherly pride that insists that he's a miracle. To me, he's a miracle because 9 months ago he didn't exist. And now he's taken over every one of the bedrooms in my house. Science is wonderful, but this is one that science can't explain adequately to me. Science, for instance, can't explain to me how come this boy has a full head of black hair? Sure, both his mother and father have black hair, but who arranged things so that this boy's hair should be black? Mark Matthew has ears and eyes, a nose, a mouth, hands and feet, a healthy cry when he's hungry. He snorts and he sneezes and he frowns. Who arranged all that? He likes to rub his nose with the back of one hand. Where did he learn that at such a tender age? 2 days after he was born, he was feeding happily and greedily at his mother's breast. Did science furnish him the little mimeographed sheet of instructions, telling him where his dinner was and how to get it? When he closes his eyes, it's dark enough for him to sleep. Did an Einstein figure that one out? I know that as time goes on, he'll learn to talk and to walk, that he'll grow a set of teeth. There's a big apple tree out in the backyard, and I know the day will come when he'll climb it. I know that at first he won't like girls, and then he'll like them but refuse to admit it. I know he'll dislike vegetables and try to save his appetite for the ice cream. I know all that will happen. But science can't tell me why. It can only suggest. And then there's a theory about this and that. And they can tell me from experience how to cope with a small boy when he does all these things that he'll do in the years to come. But science can't tell me who, or if you will, what is behind this miracle. And if Martin Matthew is not a miracle, then why do I feel about him the same that I felt about the three girls and one boy who preceded him in that crib? Argue with me if you will. But we brought home a miracle. It's just like that. How can you look at a sky full of stars and say there is no God? How would the flowers know it was spring except for a smile from God? How can you gaze at a sleeping child and not feel the angels near? Do you thrill to the song of a happy bird? Do you realize that it's God that you really hear? Of all that was and all that shall be, God is the beginning and the end. And if the heart that he gave you cannot understand, then I'm sorry for you, my friend. And it's just like that. You talk about a miracle. You say you do not believe in miracles. I believe in miracles with every atom of my being. I would be a fool not to believe in a miracle and in miracles. But I believe in miracles because I believe in God, and for no other reason. All right, we're going to turn to the 9th chapter of John. We take the word of God. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way therefore, washed, and came seeing. The neighbors, wouldn't you know it, he had neighbors too. Neighbors are no new things. Here came the neighbors. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore, said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? Tell us, what happened? Just what happened, confidentially? How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforehand was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said unto them, He put clay on mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? Then there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Nor who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And it's just that simple. There's something about the simplicity of this whole thing. How often I've gone through this whole thing myself, it's as real as though it had not been taken out of the Word of God, but had just happened yesterday at the great miracle service, or will happen again at the next great miracle service. Here's somebody wonderfully healed of cancer by the power of God. And after that one has been gloriously healed, has returned home, the neighbors will say, Well, how can it be? Maybe that one didn't have cancer at all. Maybe the thing was not diagnosed correctly by the doctor. Oh, the neighbors will talk. Even the church people will talk. Your best friends won't believe it. How often after a great miracle has been performed by the power of God, and I've said to them, and you've heard me ask the questions, what did the folks say after you went back healed? Went back home carrying your brace? And invariably you get the same answer. Some believed and some didn't. When I went back to work, there were those who believed and there were those who didn't believe. It just couldn't be. I love this portion, the Word of God. And the answer that the young man gave, he didn't understand it.
I don't know, he said. I can't give you the answer. I haven't even stopped to try to analyze a thing. One can't analyze the power of God. You can't do it. In desperation, he said, all that I know, and there is only one thing that I do know, and it's just this. Whereas I was blind, now I see. You accept the power of God in exactly the same way that you accept the person of God. Who can analyze a little thing like a watermelon? Who can? Now, really, this is such a homey, such a simple little thing, but it's a gem. Who can? Oh, sure, I know. From a standpoint of science, we are rich when it comes to science. In this generation, we've gone to the moon and back. Oh, look at the scientific discoveries. There's television. There's 1,001 things that this generation has discovered through science. And yet, who can really analyze the planting of a little seed? And after such a length of time, here we have our vegetables. We have our beautiful spring flowers. Try to analyze these things from the standpoint of science. Oh, sure, but beloved, at the basis of everything, there is God. We try to analyze life in the human body. We take it apart and we try to analyze it. But yet, beloved, when it comes to the final analysis, it's God who gives that life. We come to the human body with all of our great scientific discoveries. We still haven't been able to make a human hand. There it is. 4 fingers, 1 thumb. And all of the millions of dollars in the world cannot buy a human hand should that one lose that hand. Miracles? And you say you don't believe in miracles? Put that hand over that heart of yours and feel the beat of that heart. Sir, just be big enough to put your hand over the heart, your own heart, and feel that heartbeat. And that heart is only beating through the mercy God gives. It's just like that. He giveth life, he taketh life. One thing I know, said the young man, just one thing. I don't know the theology of the thing. From the standpoint of science, I don't understand. All that I know is that whereas I was blind, now I see.
For years, I've seen the manifestation of God's power. I have stood there. I have watched men and women receive the healing for their sick bodies. I have stood there and I've said, "Can you hear me now?" And that one standing there holding the hearing aid in their hand would say yes. I've stood there with my hand over an eye that was good, and the one was seeing out of an eye that had been blind. And I've raised my hand and say, "How many fingers do I have now? How many now?" And I've stood there thrilled, knowing that I was witnessing the power of God. I knew better than anyone else that I had nothing to do with that which had happened in that physical body. I have seen them come to the stage carrying their braces. And I knew better than anyone else in that great auditorium that Catherine Kuhlman had nothing to do with that miracle. I had no healing virtue. That one was healed before they ever stood in my presence. Beloved, we need to get back again and realize that God is still God Almighty. The God of Abraham is our God. The God of Moses is our God. The God that supplied the little widow with her meal and her oil is still God Almighty. The God that made the iron to swim is still limitless in his power. Yes, that thou shouldest so delight in me and be the God thou art is darkness to my intellect, but sunshine to my heart.